We're in the midst of the 16 Days of Action Against Gender-Based Violence, an international campaign that runs from November 25th, United Nations Day for Elimination of Violence Against Women, to December 10th, Human Rights Day. And it encourages action and awareness against all forms of violence against women and girls. Here to talk about some of the work we're doing in Argyll and Bute are Shona Williams, Senior Justice Manager, and Mandy Sheridan, Service Improvement Officer, both from our Children, Families and Justice team. And Argyll and Bute has adopted the Safe and Together model, which we'll hear more about. It provides a framework for partnering with domestic abuse survivors and intervening with domestic abuse perpetrators in order to enhance the safety and well-being of children. And here is Shona and Mandy to talk more about our work. So today we're going to talk about Safe and Together to mark the 16 Days of Action Against Gender-Based Violence. And before we start, I've got Shona Williams and Mandy Sheridan here to talk about it. And Shona, if you can introduce yourself, and if somebody hasn't heard of Safe and Together, maybe just give a brief explanation of what is that as a concept.
Right. So, hi, I'm Shona Williams. I'm the Senior Manager in Children, Families and Justice Social Work here in Argyll and Bute. So Safe and Together really is a framework for assessment and working with families where there has been domestic abuse. The main sort of principles of Safe and Together is that we will partner with the survivor, which is in most cases the woman, and also engage with the perpetrator to keep children safe within their families. A lot of the research and sort of standard ways of working with cases of domestic abuse really is based on the principle that, you know, women have to separate and children need to be removed from the family to keep them safe. Whereas what Safe and Together does as a model is really look at the strengths-based approach of what activities the woman or the survivor is actually making to keep some form of normality and to keep the children safe. But also the other important aspect of it is that we are holding perpetrators accountable for their behaviour. So it's a very much a sort of child-centred, trauma-informed approach to working with families who experience domestic abuse.
Yeah, thank you. And Mandy, perhaps introduce yourself, and I'm interested to expand on why getting into this more, what is essentially a more preventative early intervention space, is so important.
Yeah, my name's Mandy Sheridan, and amongst other things, I chair the Violence Against Women and Girls Partnership. And Shona and I particularly have been working in terms of getting Safe and Together into Argyll and Bute. It's a national, or I should say international, move towards this model, and it is happening as a rollout across a number of authorities in Scotland. Now, we were lucky enough a year and a half ago, we put in a bid to for funds to complete that rollout, to start that rollout, I should say, and we were successful in gaining £69,000 to do that over the course of 2 years. It's crucially important to get away from traditional models that blame the mother, and as Shona said, fail to see the strengths that she has, how she protects the children, how she uses routine and her own ability to manage the violent partner to keep the children safe. And as a result, too many children are coming into care, and too many times the blame remains with the mum, and the partner, the violent partner, is almost ignored in the process and seen as the situation, not the perpetrator, not the actor who should be responsible for those actions. And it has benefits across the board. not just in terms of giving staff a new model and new confidence in dealing with these situations, but also in effective use of resources. You'll know yourself, Pippa, that if we manage to keep one child out of care for a year, that saves an enormous amount of money before we even look at the benefits to the child, and that money can be placed into other resources and other activities that will safeguard and protect children and others. We have got a long way to go with it, I have to say. It's got a lot of challenges, but we have so far managed to deliver the virtual overview to over 200 staff in terms of what the model means. And I would say staff are keen to become involved. A large number of children and family social workers are now trained, and their managers and the second tier managers, and there's commitment to this. But we're seeing it as a longer term thing, because there has to be real change within systems, as well as it's not simply about training staff in our own and other agencies. It's about changing the model, changing thinking. So we're thinking at least 5 years before it's effectively rolled out, but we're making a good start, I would say.
And I mean, I think it's, I mean, as you say, it's kind of a change of culture, isn't it? Because I think, you know, for those of us that have been lucky enough not to be in that kind of situation, I think perhaps there's maybe sometimes a lack of appreciation, but the kind of actions that a mum in that situation might have to take to protect her kids might on the face of it seem to not be ideal parenting if you don't know the context. But in the context, it's completely logical, and it's trying to get that better understanding, which I think, Shani, you touched on trauma-informed approach, and people want to go back and find the podcast we did on that, I'd recommend it. But I mean, maybe just touch briefly on that, because I think that's, you know, there's a whole theme in our approach, and this is very much picking up that one of just thinking in the wider context, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely is. And I think, you know, that trauma-informed, and I suppose it's trauma-informed, but also domestic abuse-informed practice that we're wanting to really get rolled out. I mean, obviously there's Safe and Together. There's, you know, a whole tranche of other training which is going around about, you know, the rollout of Safe and Together, which Mandy will be able to speak about. But, you know, that's going out to a range of multi-agency staff, looking at, you know, everything from sensitive routine inquiry. So, you know, if someone comes across someone, they ask the question, and it's about not being scared to ask that question. And then that can sometimes open up, you know, additional resources, right up to, obviously, you've got your Safe and Together training as well. Another really crucial part, I suppose, of the rollout of this is we commissioned research from Dr. Annie Donaldson to look at women's experiences of domestic abuse within a remote rural and island communities of Argyll and Bute. And it's absolutely fascinating research. We're currently looking at some of the recommendations that I think there was 34 recommendations that Annie came up with. And a lot of that is looking at trauma-responsive, domestic abuse, you know, responsive, but it is cross-cut and multi-agency. And I think it just goes to demonstrate the additional layer of complexities that women within our most remote and island communities experience. And a lot of that isolation is actually used to perpetuate a lot of the, you know, the violence and coercive control as well. So it really has given us a lot to think about. And Maddie, I don't know if you've got anything to add about sort of Annie's research and the issues that it's raised.
Yeah, I mean, it was really quite successful research. As these things go, 12 survivors, 12 women came forward to take part in that research, which, given the nature of this research and the kind of remote rural area we are, that was phenomenal. And we also asked for staff and for managers to come forward to talk about the same subject, because it focused on what is the perception at the moment of the services that we're delivering, both from the recipients and staff and managers that deliver that, and what are their views on how we can make that better. And as part of that, we were lucky enough to get a number of island women coming forward. So it has enabled us to also have a focus on the barriers and challenges, both of experiencing domestic abuse in remote and island places and delivering services. And that has really been a gap in the Scottish evidence so far. So when we are at the point, and we almost are, having considered the suggestions from that research to making it public, I think there'll be national interest in that. But for me, that is a critical thing. But it's also important to, as you say, consider the trauma elements, and to make sure that the services and the package that we're delivering into is good for service users, but also providing staff with the skills, the tools, the confidence, and the awareness that they need. And as Shona said, we've been delivering a really wide range of training over the last year and a half. And just to pick one that's relevant for 60 Days of Action, we'll have Mairead Tagg, who's a clinical psychiatrist, who'll be delivering two half-day sessions for staff, multi-agency staff, frontline staff, on trauma and the impacts on victims of domestic abuse, and also for children who've been sexually abused and been the victims of domestic abuse. So it's about getting our services right and using really crucial tools like Safe and Together to make that happen, and to get away from traditional ways of thinking about victims of domestic abuse. Because it's, you know, best will in the world, we have to say those views are still out there, not just with us, some of our staff, but in the community. And we hope to use 16 Days of Action to get media out about Safe and Together and what we're trying to do, and you know, give people different ways of thinking.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point, isn't it? Because it's, you know, we talk about the training, but it's hopefully leading to a whole different approach to it and a whole different culture. And you know, to me, as you say, we've got particular issues in our communities. If you're very well known in a small community and your partner's well known, who can you go to and how safe do you feel to highlight you've got an issue and seek help? And how easy is it to do that in a confidential way when, you know, everybody knows each other in a lot of our communities? It does pose particular challenges, plus, you know, at the distance to some of the support resources is an issue. I mean, Mandy, you touched on the partners we work with, like Rape Crisis. I mean, maybe if you can just talk a little bit about, you know, because it's a team effort, obviously, and how we work with them and how people can get, look for help.
Yeah, both Rape Crisis and Women's Aid are fabulous partners in this work. And you talked about barriers for our island and remote communities. One of the barriers that they face with supporting women face to face and doing that work is, you know, they're relatively small teams. They're recognised, as are a lot of our professionals. As soon as they come off the ferry, they know who you are, and so they're looking who they visit and all of that. But both of those provide both online and face-to-face support. Women's Aid has a refuge, although it's only one for Argyll and Bute, which I think is a shame. But our housing department, as you know, prioritises women fleeing from domestic violence, which is a great thing. And I would say that women and Women's Aid work with both children affected by domestic abuse as well as women. But if people want to access that help, obviously they're online, but if they go to the council website, there is a domestic abuse page that has all the information about all the partners and resources, and also signposts to other key pages that people are likely to need if they are fleeing domestic violence, because, you know, the losses that people have when leaving, I think people assume that things are much better, they've done the hard thing, they've left. But the reality is, if you're a woman fleeing violence, you're like, as you've said, you might lose your community, the children might lose their school, there's going to be a financial crisis immediately, possibly housing crisis. It may impact on your work if you're employed. It may exacerbate or even produce health issues. So the benefits sometimes take longer to come. And as you've said, locally we have more barriers than most. And, you know, I often think that's something that people need to think about more when they're saying, why doesn't she leave him? It's one of the toughest things in the world to take on that leap into the dark, when at least at home you have something that you're managing, because you've had to develop systems that work and keep you and the children safe. To move away from that is phenomenal.
Yeah, I think just to say as well that on the point of separation, risks also increase quite dramatically to women and children's safety.
Yeah, and I think that, and it's, again, it's a big, you know, it's, I think it's become better understood. I don't think we're where we need to be, but as you said, the risks can increase. And if you're doing that when you're leaving a rural island community, say, where that's where your family and friends are, probably means that you're having to move away completely from what you know, unless we can get in early enough and, you know, work with the whole family and get into that preventative space as well, which obviously is something that where it's appropriate we would want to do. And I don't know which of you want to pick this up, but I suppose somebody might say gender-based violence, you're talking a lot about women, but there's a good reason for that, isn't it? The data definitely supports that.
Definitely. I mean, the figures for 2021 to 22 police figures, 64,807 domestic abuse incidents recordings by Police Scotland. In 81% of those cases, a woman was being abused by a man. A more stark figure, perhaps, a woman is killed every 3 days in the UK by a partner. We're not saying that domestic abuse doesn't take place from a woman to a man, but it is a much less likely event, and in some of those occasions it will be I've forgotten the correct thing for it, but it's a self-defense by going on the offense. Sometimes people have taken so much or feel they need to finally meet that attack. But nobody is saying that it doesn't happen, but in a much smaller percentage of cases.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you've touched on it already, but the 16 days of action, hopefully it widens everybody's awareness, you know, whether you're a victim or you're somebody that suspects somebody you know might be dealing with that, about taking it just a different approach to how you tackle that or ask those questions. That at the heart of it, I think it's about being more understanding of perhaps there's more than meets the eye to these things. And often it's from a place of good reason that somebody's behaving in the way that they are.
Exactly. And 16 Days of Action gives us an amazing platform to make that all that clear, but also to reach out to men to say, you know, you don't have to be that guy. So, you know, sitting on the sideline isn't enough. You'll have heard of the police, that guy campaign, asking men to step up and say that's not on if a friend is behaving or saying things that around domestic abuse. And Rape Crisis locally have produced a wonderful short film relating to that, with involving men across Argyll and Bute, saying that they do not side with domestic abuse or gendered violence, and they want to stand up and be counted. It's maybe worth mentioning before we close that one of the things that the police also promote on the 16 days, and perhaps people listening to this might want to know about, is the Disclosure Scheme for Domestic Abuse Scotland, or DISDAS as it's known. If you have concerns that a partner may have a history of domestic abuse, or you have concerns relating to that, you can go to the police and request that information.
No, I think that's important to flag, and we'll put links to all the various ways in which you can find more help. And I know that you'll be promoting the video as part of the 16 days of action. I mean, maybe as to finish up, we've talked a couple of times about Women's Aid and Rape Crisis, but I think, Mandy, you want to pay tribute to Elizabeth Thompson, who was our manager in Argyll and Bute, who's sadly passed away recently. I don't know if you want to add anything, because I think she's been quite a key activist and worker in this area.
Yes, and Elizabeth, for many years, was the manager of Rape Crisis, and a phenomenal force of nature. Somebody always spoke her mind and didn't allow barriers to get in the way of her work for women. And Rape Crisis also works with men, need to say. She was always one of the people, perhaps the person, leading the charge on the 16 days of action, organising things like marches and candlelit vigils, things like a safe places survey 1 year, I remember, that was really quite useful to the police. A whole raft of things, promoting the idea of having a local SARC. So many things that she has achieved. And that from a lifetime of work here and other areas, other women's aids. And I just want to say she'll be missed, and she leaves a team that's Rape Crisis, who are grieving but are determined to carry on with her work.
Well, thank you, Mandy, and say hopefully we can, in that small part, just celebrate the contribution that Elizabeth made, because it's people like that help you deliver. In addition to what all of our services do, we rely so much on people like Elizabeth. So hopefully just that short remembrance of some of the work she's done will will help to celebrate her efforts. So we'll get those links and hopefully people will see some of the information that's going out as part of the 16 days, and it will just get people to just stop and think a little bit about how they might be able to react differently if they they see a situation that causes concern, and just approach it with a little bit of understanding as a result. And we'll keep on plugging away, as you say, to the long-term goal of getting a safe and together approach truly embedded in the area. So thank you both. So some really concerning statistics that we were hearing there from Mandy, but some real positive work with the Safe and Together. I do want to let people know, if you are experiencing domestic abuse or violence, you can seek help. There's a helpline to contact our Girl and Butte Rape Crisis on 0800 121 4685, or you can email support@ab-rc.org.uk. Podcast.